So this is from Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 24 in the NIV. The armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, Paul, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Tychicus, I hope I pronounced that right, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace be to the brothers and sisters and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love.
Thank you, Jim. For those who are with us regularly, you will know that we have been working through the book of Ephesians, which is a letter that Paul wrote, most likely from imprisonment in Rome, to the churches in and around the area of Ephesus. And the eagle-eyed amongst you, and there are many who will notice this, I've noticed I've missed a bit out. So we've skirted over the end of chapter 5 and chapter 6. But hopefully, at some point, we'll get a chance to have a look at another time. And in that section, Paul continues with what he's done. Three chapters of theology and then three chapters of application. And in that section, we're going to look at another time. There are instructions for Christian households, extended families, servants, slaves. And Paul calls for harmonious relationships between husbands and wife, parent and child, masters and slaves and so forth. But we're going to look at this last piece of the passage today. And just a reminder that in order to understand the end of the book, you have to understand the first bit. A little bit like if your first time ever watching England play football internationally was last night, you would think, what have I been missing? For those of you who don't know the score, cover your ears, but it was a great match. And England scored more goals in that match than they have, I think, in about 3 years previously. But that whole sense of, wow. But you have to understand that this was a third place playoff. This wasn't for the World Cup, sadly. We missed that one for another 4 year cycle. But in order to understand what Paul is saying later, you have to understand what's gone before. And if you remember, and you were here, Paul's talked about that in the past, God has chosen us, and in the present, he empowers us. We use an image of the universal plug to say that actually, in the olden days, the Jewish nation were the ones who could get to know God, but only they could plug into him. But now, through Jesus, the universal adapter in a sense, everybody can get to know God. There's no restrictions of any sort. We can all get to know God. And then we had, for those of you who are visitors, that's a darning mushroom. I'm sure you all knew that. Most of the congregation didn't, but never mind. Infamy. They've all got it infamy. That darning mushroom was a mystery to me when I first saw it. But the same for Paul. He says, actually, I hadn't realized that God loves everyone, not just us Jews, but everybody. And then Jonathan, when he was here, talked a little bit about how it's a hamper of things that God gives us. Not a chocolate box for ourselves when we pick and choose, but a hamper to be shared. And as we went through that, we now come to the end, and Paul shared a little bit last week as well about how we can apply that knowledge and how we understand that theology. I've been a Christian quite a long time, and I've come to learn that certain passages come up a lot when you're a Christian. Certain passages don't. I've not heard much on Leviticus, but that's probably my fault because I'm not preaching on it. But this idea of the armor of God is one of my first memories as a kid on a Script Union camp. And this is the day, and shows my age, when the person who did it had drawn it out on a piece of paper, cut out all the parts, and using blue tack would stick on a different bit every time. Breastplate of righteousness and so forth. And if he was lucky, they'd stay on. If not, halfway through, the belt of truth would drop off and you'd have to stick it back on with blue tack and so forth. But as I've looked at this passage over many years, it's spoken in lots of different ways. But a few things have come through very clearly over the years. One of them, that was the tape measuring up against. One of them was this. That life can sometimes seem a struggle. That might be for us as individuals. Whenever we hear a testimony on a baptism, it's rarely roses and violins playing. I've never heard someone come to the front and say, I've had a great life, it's been nothing but wonderful, I'm getting baptized. Invariably, life brings us joys and sorrows, ups and downs, pleasures and sadnesses. And that same is true in the news. We see that there are struggles. But what Paul is keen to say is that our struggle as Christians is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's a very full way of saying that there is more than just what presents itself. We are not struggling with people. We're struggling with things within people. We're not struggling with nations, but within systems that change things. Our fight is as much about fighting against our own fear, our own selfishness, our worry, our despair, perhaps our anger, perhaps our blame, as is against other people. And the reality is, that whether we verbalize it or not, it's very clear from the world we live in and the way humans act that there is more to this world than just individuals going about their business. When we see a sunset, the wonder of the beauty of it as it comes down, we don't just sit there and think, oh, isn't it interesting how the sun goes down on the horizon? There's a thicker layer of atmosphere, and that changes the sorts of light that's coming through and turns it red. Well, some of you might if you're scientists, but I don't. I sit there and go, wow, it's amazing. Or if we see animals in the wild, we rarely go, oh, that's interesting. The population of hares in this local area has increased once again. How fascinating. We go, wow, it's a hare. Look at that. Those ears are so big. Paul, writing to the church in Rome, where he probably wrote this letter from, wrote this. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what he has made. There is a creator behind creation. And there, I would say, is evil behind people's evil acts. Our struggle is not just in the physical world. There is a spiritual world, a world that goes beyond what we have. And so Paul says, if that's the case, what should we do? And so he goes on to say, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Now, this phrase is not like in the 1970s. I'm a 70s child. I was born, I have lived my entire life without England winning a World Cup in football, in the men's team at least. But I know the 70s was full of the equivalent of this, but not with the hope. Pull your socks up, Simon. It's only -3. You can still wear shorts to school. I remember seeing my legs go blue as they shoved me out the front door. There's snow on the ground. Oh, pull your socks up then. And when it was difficult, oh, you know, get on with it. Be strong. Don't cry. Don't cry. Don't. Why are you crying? Why are you crying? Because my arm's broken. Well, you know, it's only whatever. But I was brought up in that sort of time. If you have a cut, the secretary at school would put this evil stuff called TCP on. It never helped, but it did sizzle. Do you remember that's... And then just to make matters worse, they'd dob you with the iodine of shame. Do you remember that? Yeah, or they'd put this will be right, put some iodine on. And so for the next 3 months, everybody knew you'd grazed your knee playing British Bulldog. But that's not what Paul is saying. He's not saying, pull your socks up, Christians, toughen up. What he's saying is something more profound. He's saying, be strong in the Lord. There's a difference between trying to look for help within than trying to look for help upwards. Be strong in the Lord means actually let's strengthen our relationship with God. When the going gets tough, the Christian should strengthen their relationship with the Lord. I know a number of you have been coming along, I know Heather as well, to the Sunday night Bible course where they've been looking at the Bible and understanding how that works. Reading the Bible strengthens in the Lord. Praying and listening in prayer strengthens in the Lord. Spending time away from the distractions of the world and just maybe get out for a walk and praising God for his creation strengthens us in the Lord. We need to allow God's power to help us. If we are scared, we can ask for his peace, that peace that transcends all understanding, Paul wrote in Philippians 4. If we're feeling isolated, we can ask for his presence. If we're feeling trapped, we can ask for his release. And that access, Paul said earlier in his letter, is for everyone. God will never turn away our prayers, whether we have a strong faith or no faith. If we pray to him, he will hear and he will respond. That's an amazing thing that we can pray in that way and have strength in the Lord. To put his point through, Paul uses an image. This is probably an image he saw regularly. He's either in prison or under house arrest at this point he's writing this letter. And it's highly likely that he saw Roman soldiers all the time. Saw them, smelt them, heard them, felt their presence. The clunk of sword on the belt. The smell of the food they'd eaten. That slightly foreboding presence that soldiers can bring when you're a prisoner. But he takes that and says, actually, as a Christian, that gives me an inspiration to remind us how in life, if we want God's help, we can do things to protect us against the difficulties of this world. So he says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. When the going gets tough, when life is hard, then put on the armor of God. It starts with this. The belt of truth. The belt was something that kept the soldiers' clothes in place. It's not a great thing, is it, when you're running into battle and your tunic is tangling your legs or flapping around. That's not necessarily the best thing. So they had these thick belts where they'd not only tie their clothes together, but they could hang weapons on it and they could do that. The thing that keeps us together when we are struggling is the truth that God loves us. However we feel, that does not change. God loves us. He loved us so much that he sent his son to live a perfect life but die on a cross. That's how much he loved us. That's the strength of that belt. This isn't a bit of string that might snap. This isn't one of those cheap ones you get. This is a proper soldier's belt. It will last through battle, through difficulty, through water, through fire. It is solid, as is God's love and the truth of it. And then we can put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate was there to protect the vital parts of the soldier. You can lose have a bit of a wound here and a bit of a wound there, but if you have a bit of a wound here, you've got quite a big problem. And so this sense of righteousness, not our righteousness, but the righteousness that Jesus gives us. He lived a perfect life and died a wrong death. And so he can bring us forgiveness. That can protect us. If people are telling us we're bad, we know actually God makes us righteous. He forgives us and we're okay. The next one, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Again, footwear is important in battle, isn't it? You wouldn't wear a high level heel if you were going to go over mountainous terrain. You might try, but it wouldn't work too well. So you wear something that's suitable. Your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel. That gospel of peace. That gospel that Jesus promised his disciples. The shalom of God that I've mentioned in Philippians. That sense that actually, that peace can help us to move from difficult places to harder places. Do we feel trapped? Well, we can move because God gives us the peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The lovely thing about the shield is that it was a big old thing. And if you needed to, you could crouch behind it and you could be protected from arrows and from missiles and from swords. A faith in God can give us that. It can help us to know that even if people say bad words to us, God says love to us. Even if we feel alone, we never are alone. If we feel unworthy, God forgives us. What I find really encouraging, my mum, bless her, was a Latin teacher. I've told a number of you before, I'm sure, that I remember very little of the Latin that she taught me or my school taught me. The only thing I remember was what was written in every Latin textbook in my school. Latin is a subject, dead as dead can be. First it killed the Romans, now it's killing me. I never shared that with my mum. But she used to have lots of little models of Roman soldiers and lots of posters. And one of the amazing things about Roman soldiers were they were organized enough that they could form into different formations. I used to love that as a kid. You know, they're going to go into the porcupine where they put their shields together and stick their spears up and they shuffle along. Or they go into a square. And the joy of the shield formation was that actually your shield would protect your front. But what about your sides? Well, your fellow soldier's shield will protect your side and the other soldier. And actually in community, in church, our faith can help protect us, but so can other people's faith. When we gather around those who are struggling, our faith can lift up their faith. When we pray for those who are struggling, our prayers can help their prayers. Lastly, but one, the helmet of salvation. When all is said and done, we need to protect what's in here. And ultimately, Paul says, you are saved. Life may be difficult, but death is not the end. Eternal life is part of what Paul talks about. Ultimately, the end result is not being knocked out of the semi-finals, not a loss on penalties to Germany. The end result is walking with God in heaven. That's the ultimate salvation that protects us. And lastly, the sword of the Spirit. What soldier wouldn't be a soldier without a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the Bible? This helps us when we face difficulties to read the reality, to read the truth of who God is and what he does. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I don't know what challenges you face or are going to face. I don't know where you're at. But God promises through this image that he can help protect us, that there can be security when God's there. If you're not a Christian and you're missing that, well, maybe read your Bible and have a little look. Have a chat with us and we'll tell you a little bit more about it. But the world is a difficult one. You just need to scroll through your feeds. We're of the generation where doom scrolling, where you just look and it's doom and it's doom and it's doom, has become a common occurrence. Now more than ever, do we need God's help? So, stand firm. Put on the armor of God. And by doing that, you'll bless yourself, but also be a blessing to others. Let's pray together. Lord, in a world of difficulty, we thank you that we can come to you. Help us this week to put on the full armor of God, to know the strength that you give. Lord, we thank you for Heather and her testimony of how you have been with her and are protecting her. Lord, we pray for her this week and for all of us, that we might know you a bit more this week. We might know your peace a bit more too. That we might know more of your call on our lives. Lord God, you are amazing. We thank you that for the gift of your Son who died for us. Lord, we pray this prayer in his name. Amen.